I would say if you did not hear the entire lecture, you should do your best to check out the video channel of Gupta Govardhan and see that again, because that's possibly the best explanation I've ever heard of Balaram and Nityananda Prabhu, and I'm astonished.
Hare Krishna.
And despite my so-called erudition and learning, I've never heard such a thing. And that was wonderful, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
It was very deep and beautiful. I have nothing to add.
Vakya Aparad, a dim reflection of what we've heard from Srila Guru Maharaj, but appreciable nonetheless, we could say. Well, if we were forced into a position of agreement.
But it was distilled. Yeah.
All right. So. Hare Krishna.
That was very nice.
All
your friends and associates should listen to that again.
Hare Krishna. Sri Baladev Abhirbhav Mahamahotabhatiti Kidai Nitai Gopurnanande. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai. It's fascinating that in Krishna consciousness that there appears to be numerous devotees, sometimes avatars, incarnations, shaktis, different aspects, upon whom you can say everything is dependent. And you will say, well, everything is dependent upon Guru. Well, everything is dependent upon Vaishnava. Everything is dependent upon Krishna. Oh, but everything is dependent upon Srimati Radharani and Lalita, we told Lalita Devi, Rupa Goswami. Vishnu Priya and Sachi Mata, they gave Nimai to the world that had become Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is dependent. Advaita Acharya, without Advaita Acharya. But Nityananda Prabhu. You know, and so it's a wonderful thing because it's true in all cases. But particularly, and of peculiar interest, Baladev. I don't know why this isn't working today. Hare Krishna. Balaram. Because, and Guru Maharaj's words, sometimes he will say that Balaram is the first other than Krishna. Right? The first different than Krishna. And so what he means by saying the first other, it's hard for us who are within the confines of time and space to think, we think in very linear ways, chronological ways. So the achintya bheda bhed, simultaneously one and different, and the simultaneous aspect of nitya is, from our present position, difficult to conceive. But we're allowed a certain amount of linear consideration to help us grasp higher truths. So, because unlike it almost in theory is reminiscent of Judeo-Christian. You know, you get this idea: there's this lonely God, you know, in a place where he says, "Let there be light." Whoa, you know, then like. There's light, and then, you know, let there be this, let there be that. Gee, I'm so lonely, I could cry. He needs some friends or people to manipulate and control, to interfere with their lives, or whatever it is they've got going for them, which is not much. You know, and you end up, and they disobey him, and he becomes an angry God, a vengeful Lord. You know, it's the whole thing is not what we would call sundaram, you know, beautiful, or madhura, sweet. There's a lot of vindictiveness. This kind of, I really don't, I'm regretting now that I even mentioned this. But that idea that he's there, then he starts allowing or making other things. So, but still, we, growers, again, we have to set aside for a moment that this is all simultaneous and eternal to help us understand. There's like, there's Krishna, and then there's Balaram. Except it happens to all happen simultaneously, eternally. But the first other than Krishna is someone who is, in Guru Maharaj's words, a facsimile of Krishna. He's as much Krishna as you could be Krishna without being Krishna, would be another way of putting it. When Rupa Goswami says that, and again, it's a type of analysis, you know, Jivas, 50 qualities, executive class Jivas, 55, Narayan, 60, Krishna, 64. It's not to be taken literally that what's the difference between a Jiva and Krishna? I'd say around 14 qualities. No, it doesn't work like that. But still, it's a type of analysis. So when he says Narayan, 60, sometimes Guru Maharaj will explain further that Ramachandra 62, Baladev 62, to help us understand Balaram better, how almost entirely, totally identical he is to Krishna. Another way of looking at it, he's like Krishna, but just showing himself differently. Or he'll say that as when Krishna goes to Vrindavan and he's Vasudev, that level of Krishna in Mathura, Balaram is that. Many different, just approach from many different points of view to understand something. But I like it best when Guru Maharaj says, he's the first other than Krishna. Is it in a sense of expansion? So then, everything after that comes from Balaram. That means the famous, you know, Chaturvyuha of Vishnu's Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. That, those four. And we're told, then the second Chaturvyuha of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. And from them come the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kiradakshaya Vishnu. And through Kiradakshaya Vishnu, all the avatars enter this world, all the famous avatars, you know. Narsinga, Varaha, Kurma, Matsya, Parashuram. Well, that would be another category that would require some additional analysis. But you get the thread. So then if someone could make a case and say, well, actually, and so Mahavishnu, all the worlds, from the Chaturvyuha, so many Vaikuntha planets, like we saw beautifully conceived by Srila Prabhupada for the dust jacket of his Bhagavatams. It has to be, it's really one of the most fascinating paintings of all time. If you consider what it's revealing to you, showing, you know, Goloka Vrindavan, Radhan Krishnan, Balaram, and Sridham Subal, the cowherd boys, Nandiyas, they're all in Goloka Vrindavan, this beautiful, multi-petaled lotus flower described in the beginning of the Brahma Sangita. And then so many Vaikuntha planets with four-armed Vishnu forms and their individual names, of which one is Krishna. So there's a Krishna of Vaikuntha. Then in one place, the earth, Mahatattva, sometimes you say, a clouded portion of the spiritual sky, you know, like, or in other words, very minuscule, atomic in one sense. This one, then, but within there, and we know from modern day, what do you call it? The electron microscope. Is it still called that or something else? Where you look and see, you can see that if you magnify cement 50,000 times, you enter another world of, you know, sight and sound, size and dimension, you know. So there, and in that Mahatattva, Mahavishnu, innumerable universes coming out, and Garbhadakshay Vishnu entering in them, and then Kiradakshay Vishnu, and then the Paramatma and every living being, and it's so beautiful and so wonderful. But you could go like, well, oh, it all goes back to Balaram, to Baladev. Like, so it is not, a malapropriism or appropriism to say everything comes from him. Everything. The first other than Krishna. Because as we know, Krishna, he's famous for what? Which is almost an unfair question. Why is Krishna famous? You know, the supreme Adi Purusha, Govinda, the supreme enjoyer, Rasaraj. These are the names that are most associated with Krishna. Always, you know, like the song saying, Yasumati Nandana Brajabharana Gokula Ranjana. Usually some form of enjoyment or pastimes of enjoyment with his devotees, right? That's really Krishna. I mean, there's a little bit of, you know, ahang sarvasya prabhavo, muktak sarvam pravartate, you know, thrown in for good measure. Because remember, even Balaram, Baladev. So when he says, everything comes from me, he's telling Arjuna, I mean, it needs to be said. Ahang sarvasya prabhavo, muktak sarvam pravartate. What is it? Iti matta bhajante mam buddha bhavas mamita. Param brahma, param dham, pavitram, param brahma. Like that. But how? How? That's how. Power. Where's the power come from? Bala means power. So, Chiang Mai is so raga marg, you know, keeps you humble, you know, because you never know when the power is going to be withdrawn. It's not yours to. And it's something like that. Bala, Gyana Bala Kriyacha. So, Baladev, Balaram, after Krishna, he takes care of everything. In that sense, right? And who is his Shakti, his consort? Guru says, Yogamaya. So the two of them, this Lord, this original Adi Purush, this enjoyer, Krishna, we could say in one sense, a lot is required for to that level of enjoyment that he, that is so much associated with him, is the way I'd like to put it, right? And they're saying, we'll take care of everything. Baladev and Yogamaya. Scripting, casting, Krishna Leela. Right? But we know in a world, back to the let there be light idea, You need more than that. You know, there has to be a floor, a chair, air, sky, everything. So, but in a scientifically, technologically functional sense, like we get together, all right, we're going to need this many bricks and this much cement and then wires, and there's that level, but it's much more evolved and higher and sweeter than that. So if we can think of it like this, because, well, Guru Maharaj will say, again, along these theoretical lines, he's saying, like, you have an owner, a proprietor, any appoints a manager. That's one way of doing it. Krishna, the owner, Baladev, the manager, arranging everything for the proprietor, the supreme proprietor. But what is it that he wants arranged? We're always thinking from, the bottom up, this world and all these planets, these stars and air, water. Yes, all those things, but we have to remember, what were you told? That's a tiny part of a clouded portion of the Vaikuntha world. What's going on in that Vaikuntha world? And finer, right? When Srivas Thakur was teasing Swarup Damodar, like within earshot, during the Haripanchaman, he says, what do the Braj Gopis have? Cows, and I get, flowers from trees, fruits, they're churning butter, but look at my goddess Lakshmi Devi on her singhasan, ratna singhasan, jeweled throne with such opulence. She's the consort of Narayan, the infinite Vaikuntha world. And these gopi girls, what? How do they get so famous? They have it's a nice scene, the Jamuna and those trees and the flowers and the fruits, and they're churning the butter. It's charming, but it doesn't compare to the opulent, and stop! Mahaprabhu is saying, Srivas, do you understand, who you're talking to? Srip Damodar, he's a Shuddha Brijbasi. Opulence is not a word in his dictionary. Aishwarya. And Srip Damodar, well, I wouldn't put it exactly like that. I just think with Srivas, we're here, all right, temporary insanity. He's forgotten a few things. Chintamanis, Charanabhushanamanganam, Sringara Pushpa Taravas Taravat Suranam, Vrindavanam, Brajadanam, what is that? Vrindani Chetu Sukasendur Hovibhuti, Brajadanam Nanukama Denu, and Brahma Sangita, the Kata Ganam Natyagamanam, Toyam Amritam, Kalpavriksha, Kalpaturu, Kamadenu, saying, and Kaviraj Goswami helps us understand this. He's saying that Vrindavan, from all appearances, is 50 square kilometers. It's 16 kroshas. It's the size of like a village. That's what the original reality looks like, a village, a nice village, 12 different sections. We'll mention one of them, Talavan. Krishna Narodhateka Kela Sarvatam Naralila Tahara Swarup Gopavesh Venukar Navakishor Natavar Naralila Hoyanarup. Everything in human-like dimensions. Because we think we apply stereotypes to the infinite, so we think, well, if they're going to be like gods or goddesses, the more arms, eyes, the better, right? So, the two-handed god, the four-handed god, so four hands better, 10, even better, 1,000, Sahasra Sirsha, 1,000 heads. Can you imagine that? Right? Yeah, that's a level. Virat Rupa, Vishwarup, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna telling Arjuna, let me know when you've had enough, when your mind is sufficiently blown, and I will withdraw all of this, and you'll actually see it's this two-armed human-like form from which everything, all of this marvelous display is coming. Ekangsena stito jagat. How I'm maintaining all of this is not even in the forefront of my, it's in my periphery. I've got others taking care of that, thank you very much. The innumerable universes, Mahavishnu. You can read about it in the Bhagavatam. It's fascinating. You know? So in that world, so Sri Dhammadhar is saying, so that's in these human-like dimensions, two arms, two eyes, and they walk places. Those trees you mentioned, what are you saying? First of all, in that soil, and one part of it is the whole Vaikuntha, the innumerable Vaikunthas, they're accommodated in an atom of that soil that has human-like dimension. And an atom of that soil are the innumerable Vaikuntha planets of what you meant, that clouded portion that includes the innumerable material universes. They're in a particle of that soil. Right? How is that possible? You take, the vat of sugar water, condense it into molasses, condense it further into gore, condense concentrated sweetness into one palm candy, rock candy thing. So all that opulence condensed into the entire Vaikuntha world condensed there. And in that soil, what do we hear? Chintamani prakata sadmasu kalpa vriksha lakshavrateshu. The Chintamani gem of that soil. One Chintamani gem has more opulence in it than the sum total of the Vaikuntha worlds. And what do Brajagopis do? Chintamani charana bhushana manganam. They're stringing those gems. Right? They're making anklets for one another. So they're wearing anklets of Chintamani gems on their lotus feet. So then Brindani Cheti Sukha Sindhur Aho Vibhuti. What kind of opulence is in that world you're forgotten? That's Krishna's world. But Baladev's making everything possible. How? Not just in some heartless functional sense. Right? What do they talk about? The heartless machinery. Those boilerplate statements of, the machine eating up, eating man, that kind, or it's just going on heartlessly, the universe. And all. No, with heart. It's all heart. That Krishna world is heart. It's all about heart. So in this world, what do we find? When someone is just madly in love with someone, totally obsessed with them, what's the other word where they're, well, I guess obsessed is the word, but there's another word, infatuated, totally madly in love with them. We, in their poetry, when their heart is expressing their feelings, they say, I want to be the ground that you walk on. The chair upon which you sit, the clothes that decorate your body, these kind of things come from the heart. They have a place in the original, in the heart of Baladev. He wants to be the ground upon which Krishna walks, the Shringasan upon which he sits or stands, the Upavit, the Brahmin thread decorating his body. Right? The clothes upon everything. It's all out of love that he's doing all of this. He can't contain his love for Krishna. And although he is the first other than Krishna, that he thinks like, hey, this is great. How much can I enjoy? That's not how he's thinking. Ekala, Ishvara, Krishna are sub-britya. Right? This is in the Bala Nityananda chapter in Charitamritam, saying, what is it? He turns to Krishna, and rather than being overwhelmed by his bala-ness, you know, his power, his inconceivable, unlimited power, he's just thinking like, how can I serve you? You're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. I have so much love and affection for you. Just, how can I serve thee? Let me count the ways. That's his Krishna. So in all of these pastimes, and what does Guru Maharaj reveal? To what degree? In Ramlila, we get a hint where he's Lakshman. And even there, Guru Maharaj, some revealing insight. He says that sometimes they're talking, as one is wont to do, Krishna and Balaram, Nityananda Mahaprabhu, and Balaram, Baladev, Nityananda, he goes, Ram Leela, those aren't my favorite pastimes. Just, you know, note to the uninitiated. They're all wonderful. This is a very contextual sort of analysis and insight. So don't think offensively toward Ram Leela. It's inconceivably beautiful. But we learn something from this. It's almost as if by, identifying where it's located, it becomes even more glorious. But he says, why? Why do you say that? Well, because that's the one pastime where instead of being the elder brother, I'm the younger brother. And there's a constraint upon my ability to serve you. That's why he makes that remark. One of the most beautiful names of Krishna is Ramanuja. It's such a beautiful name, Ramanuja. But what does it mean? Rama here means Balaram. Anuja, Anu always means the little one or the junior. Ramanuja, born after, means his little brother. Why he loves that name. It means Balaram's little brother. So you say, who's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? If you answer in front of Krishna and say, why, he's Balaram's little brother, Krishna will go, yes! You know, give that man a Manohar Ladu. You know, because that's how Krishna likes to be appreciated. Not if you say, you are the, you know, But if you say, you are, you know, Yasoda Nandan, now you've got his attention. Yes, Yasoda. You know, you're Ramanuja. You're the little brother of Balaram. That, he would rather be thought of that way. Right? That's sweeter. So, what was I saying before that? Why did I say this? Oh, right. So he's saying there's some constraint in Ram Leela. That's what he's saying. Like, and what is? How is it exemplified when Ramachandra is told on the eve of his coronation to go into exile and without what? No, what? He just yes. He immediately accepts that. Lakshman, Sita, prepared, you know. But Lakshman's saying, what's up with this? What? You're to be coronated tomorrow. And then it's explained, he can't tolerate that. But because he's the younger brother, he must follow what his elder brother says. Whereas Balaram's saying, my preference is in the pastimes where I'm in the driver's seat, I'm the elder brother, you're the younger brother. And when some of these things happen in Leela, because Krishna Leela is just, let me tell you, you know, it gets wild. You know, that I get to do things that ordinarily, because I'm your older brother, I get to do it to protect you. I love you so much. So we're told it's not only Sakya Rasa, but in Balaram, you see elements of Vatsalya Rasa, that protector. And you're sort of saying, Balaram, you're responsible for Krishna. Like when the mother sends the two children out, the elder brother is supposed to take, protect the younger brother. That's why we find in one instance, Krishna and Balaram, and also this allows him to disagree. The first other than Krishna, the first different in Krishna, what does he get to do? I have a different opinion. How can you disagree with Krishna? Well, if you're Baladev, it's possible. Right? So that's sweet to Krishna, right? You know, I'm the supreme reality. You must, that's another religion, right? And Krishna conception, Balaram can say, that's not how I would handle this. I have a different idea. When Uddhava and Krishna are discussing some very nuanced, tactful, diplomatic solution to something, Balaram is losing his patience, scratching the ground with his club, saying, why all the discussion? I'll just go in there with my club and done. You know, we're done with this matter. That's how he handles things. So we seem like, oh, little different approach. We'll consider that. So that means also you have to keep him out of certain situations. It becomes very complicated, but in a very sweet way. And why is he like that? Because he's a hothead? No. He's like an omniscient hothead. He has so much love for Krishna. He can't tolerate all this, the opposition, right? Those who are opposed to Krishna conception. And you see this thematically throughout the pastimes and including into when he appears as Nityananda Prabhu. But there, he turns all that fire and power into mercy. And that's too much. To take that same intensity and convert it into mercy is more than we can handle. Nitai korunahabe braje radha krishna bhave heno nitai bine bhai radha krishna. That he is the kripa avatar. They're like, well, there's Nisringa, and he has this, and Matsya, he, saved the Vedas, and Kurma Avatar, and Varaha Dev, and who is Nityananda? Kripa Avatar. You can have a mercy avatar? Yes, he's called Nityananda Prabhu. So much, and again, what is the basis of all of this mercy? How much he loves Gauranga, how much Balaram loves Krishna, that he's willing to overlook everything. Everything. Well, what about everything? No, but I'm a super fallen. Everything. But we're so fallen, it's just... No, he's particularly interested in you and giving mercy to you. Right? What does it say? Preme Mata Nityananda Kripa. And so then we say, so how does this come about? Preme Mata. He's drunk on Krishna Prem. It's one thing to say, under the influence of Krishna Prem or Premic. And there are many wonderful ways to describe that. It's interesting that we're told here, intoxicated. And there's a reason for that. Because we see in parallel, when someone is intoxicated, they lose their discrimination. Right? Friend, foe, high, low, is meaning they're so intoxicated on a particular substance. What is it? The only thing they want is everyone around them will drink the same thing and reach the same level of intoxication. That's their idea. So, you know, you're drinking with Nityananda. You know, you know, like he wanted you to have this. You know, so that's, so it's saying, Utam Adam, whether someone high, low, fallen, half fallen, the most fallen, not really. He's embracing everyone and squeezing Prem into them. Right? That's his mood, his distribution mood, to bring everyone in connection with the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Right? Which he knows is at the heart of the matter, Radha Govinda Chidlilamritam. He knows everything. He's saying, how to really get people there to Vrindavan, the plane that is reserved for the highest section of liberated souls. If they take shelter of the lotus feet of my Lord Gauranga, then they get Radha Krishna Nitya Leela. That is the way. So there's no more merciful, affectionate aspect of the Supreme Lord than Nityananda Prabhu. But what did I want to say? Oh, about the Ram Leela and then the Krishna. So in Krishna Leela, again, he's elder brother. As we know, we see the boys, sometimes they play, and then one boy comes away like, what? And you go, what's wrong? And they go, you know, so-and-so, he slapped me. Or, what happened? We were playing, and you know. And then. So Krishna, when he's in a situation like that, if this world is a perverted reflection of the original, then we can understand these things go on there. Although the greatest scientists of the world, the greatest writers, the greatest intellectuals of all time don't have a clue about these things. Interesting. So Krishna will go to Mother Yashoda. Gyane prayasamudapasanamanti. Stop trying to measure him with your rationale and your intellect and your foreheads or however many you've got. Comes from Brahma. He has the authority to say that. So Krishna will go to Mother Yashoda and say, what happened? And he'll go like, Baladev slapped me. You know, like, what? You know, like, you know. And then Mother Yashoda, Balaram, you know. And then she's punishing Balaram. Then later, after the punishment, then Balaram will put his arm around Krishna. Little brother, I want to tell you, come over here. We need to talk about something. Let's go over to this Kalpavriksha for a minute. But everyone there can hear. It's the soil is chenmoy. That means the trees listening, the bees are listening. How fortunate they are to hear these conversations, right? The water is listening. The air is. Everyone. How privileged we are, because we think, oh, Shantarasa, that's a lower thing. Not if you're privileged to these conversations. So then Balaram is saying to Krishna, you know, you have to understand how much I love you, and still it's possible in the Nitya Leela aspect of things that, you know, if in our play, there's some differences, and if it ever did happen, like it just did happen, where I were to, like, out of pure love for you, slap you, right, for your benefit, then there's no need to tell Mother about these things. That, I mean, like, oh, that's familiar. comparisons are odious, but I remember when there was this tree with a rope on it, and you could swing so much by your own power, but I was on it, and my brothers decided they could make me swing higher by, like, using their strength, like, whoa, and you're like, never been that high before. And then at one point I lost being overwhelmed by the height, like come down, and I realized the trunk of the tree, and it was like, and I'm like on the ground like this, and they're around me like, and then as soon as like my eyes open and I woke up, instead of saying like, how are you or whatever, they were going, don't tell mom. You know, like, this is the most important thing you need to understand. Yeah. Don't tell mom. You know, like, got it. You know, like. So that happens in this world. How sweet it is that we have Balaram telling Krishna, don't tell mom. You know? And Krishna going like, okay, I won't. So that's some insight into the pastimes of the sweet absolute. And we see when Krishna and Balaram are playing in Vrindavan, what is the vision of the Braja Gopis? Like this one sloka I saw in the Bhagavatam. I thought, oh, it appears to be like a Sakya Rasa sloka upon first reading, appreciating that. More than one. We have Giriraj Govardhan, Hantayam Adra Abala Haridasa Bharja, Yad Rama Krishna Parama Pramoda Pani Ha Pani Asuya Vasakandara Kandamule Hantayam Adrilabala Haridasa Varja saying, oh, Giriraj Govardhan, you are Haridas Varja, the best servant of Krishna. You know, Yad Rama Krishna Charanasparsha Pramoda, you supply the soil, the grass that received the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna, thereby making you very happy. And so they're saying, Haridas, Govardhan was normally taken to be Krishna, you're Haridas Varja, the best servant of Krishna, providing the sweet grass, the waters, the nectarine water and everything. And they also say, Kandara Kandamula, the caves, they don't get very explicit about the caves, but that alludes to their private pastimes with Krishna. But they're ostensibly saying how wonderful you are and doing all these things. So in another place, Barha Pidam Natara Bara Bapukari Okarikaram Bidbud Vasa Kanaka Kapisam Bhai Jayantim Timalam, describing how beautiful Krishna looks when he's what? Surrounded by Balaram and the cowherd boys when they're playing their flutes, entering the Vrindavan forest. That comes from them. They're on their balconies, verandas, and seeing this marvelous parade, in a sense, you know, of Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys entering the forest every day. But that said, when Nityananda, Nimai Pandit, Nityananda's waiting to participate in the pastimes with Mahaprabhu. So he's born with Hidai Pandit, Padmavati, in Birachandrapur, Ekachakra, and he has his childhood pastimes, and he goes on parikrama, pilgrimage, Tirtha Yatra in India, goes to Vrindavan, and is wondering, and says, all the temples were empty. I mean, it's a perspective. He's saying, where are they all going? They go, haven't you heard that Krishna has appeared as Nimai Pandit in Navadvip? You know, it's a way of saying. And then what is Nimai Pandit, who's also in restless anticipation of meeting his beloved Balaram as Nityananda, has a dream that Nityananda on a chariot, you know, of Balaram, he's riding madly towards Navadvip. Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit sending out search parties to try and find him. When they come back empty-handed, he's smiling. I think I know where he is, And they go to Nandanacharya's house. And there, Guru Maharaj said, they're playing hide and seek. So this is how Yogamaya does service, by putting them in a type of spiritual illusion where you cannot recognize one another. So that allows for a first meeting. We know the first meeting of the lovers, beloved, is in this world, they say, that can never be reproduced. But Yogamaya can reproduce that. How beautiful is that? Right here, it's just always like nostalgia, that moment. In Krishna Leela, you can revisit that eternally. How is that possible? Then you'd have to be in a stage of forgetfulness, yoga mayic illusion. So when they meet in this world, in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, they do not appear as they appeared in Krishna Leela. They look differently. Although they're spiritual form, still they look differently. How do they discover one another? But by observing particular qualities and characteristics, particularly devotional qualities and characteristics, qualities of heart, qualities of love and affection, where you realize the only person who possesses this type of love and affection is... So when Nimai Pandit and Nityananda are meeting, in one sense, Nityananda cannot believe what's happened to Krishna. How that Krishna, the enjoyer of Vrindavan, Shyama Sundar, he's now Gauranga Sundar. And how did he become Shyam, become Gaura, but enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani, the most marvelous, astonishing transformation to Krishna to appear this way? I'm wondering, is this my Krishna? He's now like this? And what does Nimai Pandit do? Say, Mukunda, can you sing something? Yeah. Oh. Shama miranyaparidim banamaya barha datu prabala naravesama navatangse vinyastamastamitrena junanam abjam karnot utpala kapola mukabjahasam. Saying this one, Krishna, he's in Vrindavan and he's leaning on the shoulder of a cowherd boy, twirling a 1,000-petal lotus flower, smiling. Barhapidam natabara bapukarnu, who's wearing the peacock feather, playing the flute and dancing with his friend, entering the Vrindavan forest, and Nityananda realizes, this is that Krishna, now come as Gauranga. It's so overwhelmingly beautiful, he faints. Right? And when he awakens, he's in the lap of Nimai Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit is smiling privately and saying, how beautiful, how beautiful. Nitai, he's always the lap, the Sringa Sun, that's all he ever wants to do is serve his Lord. Ha! Here's a rare instance where the Lord has defeated the devotee. This never happens. Always the devotee is defeating the Lord. But now look how beautiful Balaram Nityananda looks on the lap of his Lord. What a wonderful sight to see. So in that Vrindavan forest, if the slokas are telling us, they're singing, dancing on their way in, then they must get in at a particular point and have particular pastimes. And we're told the cowherd boys, Jnana Shunya Bhaktas, as Guru Maharaj said once, he goes, Krishna likes to surround himself with ignorant people. Yeah, and you go like, what? You know, the highest section of liberty. That's Guru Maharaj's pun, Jnana Shunya Bhakti. Their yogamayic illusion, they just love Krishna. They're not in love with his power, his position, his rank, his omniscience, his omnipotence. That's all suppressed there. On call, but suppressed. Right? So the coward boys simple-heartedly come, you know, Sri Dam, Subal, tell Krishna and Balaram, there's this one forest, Talavan. The tal fruit is there. It's so nice, those tal fruits. Mangal Maharaj knows how to prepare them. All I could say is that to me, it would taste like mango pudding with coconut in it, if you conceive of such a thing. It's incredibly wonderful. So they're saying, these tall fruits are there in Talavan, but unfortunately, there's this one asura whose name is Denuka, and he's assumed the form of a giant ass. And his friends of similar wizardry, they've assumed the form of asses. So he's there with his ass clan. Right? And they won't let anyone in. None of the local people, sages, you know, us included, can go there and get those tal fruits. But they're very nice. They're very sweet. It would be so nice if we could go there. Krishna and Balaram look at each other. You want to? No, are you? Balaram, I'll take this one. I got this. And interestingly, because this is infinite and it's reality, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who gives allegorical interpretations, so beautifully says in the Chaitanya Shikshamritam, the tall fruits represent the sweet essence of religion. What is it ultimately? Madhura Rasa, if you want to go to the extreme. He's saying, and Denuka and his ass clan, they represent mundane religious people, religious organizations, and their leader, administrators. And he's saying, they themselves are not tasting the sweet essence of religion, but they're damn sure making sure that no one else will be allowed to taste that. And we think, you know, we discovered something new. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. You know. But thanks to Krishna and Balaram, it will now be accessible to equal access for everyone. So as they go in, Denuka, in typical asuric mentality, and I think like, you have the audacity to come to my place? This is my house. Right? He's there with his ass clan. Who are these people? Didn't you get the memo? You know. And so he's so angry, feeling it. And then, you know, like with the hooves starting, you know, like, and he's saying, like, I'll do the old, like, I'm going to run up, but then at the last second, turn around and then kick him with the strength of my hind legs right in the chest and knock this guy out. You know. So he, like, runs up to Balaram, does that spin move, you know, and then hooves to the chest, you know, knocks Baladev back, and people, there's always got to be some drama in Krishna Leela. You know, you can't give it all away in the first act. There has to be something, you know, and then his, like, ass groove, they're bringing, you know, they're, I always like, Govinda Maharaj, like to tell the story of the asses who were invited to sing at the wedding of camels. We learned something from those. And so they're there, and after they do their set, the bride, the camel bride, she goes to the lead singer of the asses, your song was so sweet. Because he was saying how beautiful the bride looked and everything, no, what did she say? Yeah, your song is... he says first, he goes, "You are so beautiful." And she said, "And your song was so sweet." And it's about the mutual appreciation of...
camels and asses.
Right, there you go. Svavid brahostra karai, to quote Sukadev. Right? So here, the ass, his ass group, they're like he in it and ha in it. And then, but it must have been nearing lunchtime or something, because Baladev did not want to stretch this particular pastime out. Grabbed him by the hind legs and started swinging him around. And what I always get them, there's centrifugal and centripetal, and what's the one where it goes outward? Tripetal? Centrifugal. So he's swinging him like this, and with the force of that centrifugal, not centripetal, force, his prana, his life, everything leaves his body. Right? He just, whatever that is, he just spun it out of him. That type of power he possesses. And then threw his body into the top of the tall palms. And many were knocked over, And then, of course, his ass posse were upset. And then they start running. And then they're just Krishna, they're just left, right, tossing them in the various trees. The trees are falling, and then the fruits are falling to the ground. And then everybody lived happily ever after. Oh. But one, it just shows you, and to what level is Baladev in control and arranging everything? I found this interesting. It's almost like a toss-away line from Veda Vyas, where he says, and he's like, how beautiful Baladev looked with these asses and the top of these trees, and they're like, and he's there in all of his glory, and with Krishna saying, Balaram, look how everybody loves you. Trees are bowing over to offer you fruits and flowers. And he said, that for him, how is he doing everything? It's not like he's straining to do it, to maintain the innumerable universe. And this interesting line is there. It said, how is he sustaining everything? Just like when you have threads going this way and threads going that way, and it makes a weave, and then things are on that. And I went, you mean like string theory? I introduce thread theory. Not only are the strings going this way, but they're going in the opposite direction, and like a weave. And, you can add a little, sprinkle in a little bit of Einstein and, some Heisenberg, and you've got, and they're saying, and how does he do this? He's not really, it's not straining him to do this. It's all appears to be going on automatically, right? So that Balaram, and the last thing I'd like to say is that it's inconceivable. I forgot to connect us. So when I mentioned about Lakshman, was that in those pastimes, how we get a hint about the internal ecstatic, emotional, interior of Balaram and his devotional heart, that when Ravan kidnapped Sita, as he was flying her in the sky to Lanka, Sri Lanka. Sita very cleverly was removing her jewelry and dropping them, like drop an earring, go drop another earring, toss a bangle, an anklet, a Nupur. And this way it was creating markers, a path. Right? So fast forward, later on in the story, at one point, after they've all teamed up, Ramachandra, when someone presents to him the jewelry of Sita, he's elated and turns to Lakshman and says, Lakshman, look what Sita's done. She's, you know, given some indications how we should proceed to rescue her. And look, it's her jewelry. And we're told, Lakshman, he only recognizes the Nupur, the anklet, right? None of the other jewelry was recognizable to him. Why? Because he said he'd never looked above her ankle. She's arguably one of the most inconceivably beautiful women beyond imagination. He had never looked above her ankle. So he didn't recognize the bracelets, the jewelry, the necklace. He'd never seen them. That gives you some indication of his position. Then going further, in Krishna Lila, to take it to its extreme conclusion, in separation, the Braja Gopis were feeling so much separation from Krishna. We know he sends Uddhava as a messenger. But at another time, he sends Balaram, right? Again, he's first other than Krishna, like, you know. If you couldn't go yourself, it would seem like the best option, you know. So Balaram, we know, and it's very beautifully described there in Jiva Goswami, in case you're wondering if there's any even remote sense of impropriety in terms of, you know, these gopis, that, you know, Vishwanath and Jiva, they smooth it all out with ontological dexterity. It's so beautiful. And he has Rasa Leela with these Braja Gopis for a fortnight or a Purnima, whatever is indicated there. But Guru Maharaj told us, and this is just inconceivable, but has to be praised and just contemplated eternally. He says, Sanatana Goswami Prabhu says that although he's performing Rasa Leela, engaged in Rasa Leela with the Braja Gopis, that Balaram, from within his heart, it's an offering to Krishna. He's capable of doing this as service to Krishna. Rasa Leela is an offering. Right? Ekala Iswara Krishna Arasabhritya. And this is Bhritya, or service taken to an inconceivable level of self-abnegation, self-sacrifice, and self-oblivion in the most positive sense. Like, so much given to the other, unaware, that sense. So, that Balaram, today is his appearance day, and you know, we're so fortunate to be here and celebrate. And he is the we're told all the rasas from Shanta to Vatsalya, Nityananda considered as guru, and then Madhura rasa, specifically Radharani. And Guru Maharaj will say, Madhva will say, there's a thing, the devata of the thing, the guru tattva of that thing. Then Baladev, Nityananda, And then in the heart of Balaram, Radha Krishna, Chidlilamritam. That's how mother. So whatever it is, there's a thing, the devata of that thing, like Mukya, you know, Vayu, or, you know, etc. And then the Guru Tattva of that takes you to Nityananda Balaram, and in the heart, Radha Krishna Chidlilamritam, like we just told, from his heart offering. But beautifully, Guru Maharaj said, but I say just the opposite. Radha Krishna Chidlilamritam, then to Baladev, then to Guru Tattva, then to Devata, then to the thing. Subjective evolution. But that said, still, so Nityananda, as we say, Heno Nitai Bine Bai, Radha Krishna, you can't enter that domain but through him, and Nitai Koruna Habe Braje Radha Krishna Bhabe. So Nityananda, Guru Maharaj said, why? The foundation. Right? Without a strong foundation, whatever you build on that will topple. So the foundation is the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And so we see, when Radha and Krishna, in a particular way, then he's absent from those pastimes. Right? When Nityananda sees Mahaprabhu has become Radharani before Jagannath, he keeps his distance, because if he will appear before him, that will take in another direction. But some will say, but how are we so privileged to hear all these things or talk these high things, but, you know, by the grace of our Guru Varga? But we've also heard from them that as the, he must have some place in the Madhura Rasa, but not with the Abhiman of Balaram. So then what? Ananga Manjari, who we're told is whom in this case? Radharani's little sister. So he also, in another capacity, minus the Abhiman of Balaram Nityananda, is also in that domain. And we pray for him, as Rupa Goswami says at one place, when he's drunk on the Varuni beverage and he's calling Jamuna! You know, and Jamuna's going, oh no, you know, I'm not going to go near him when he is like this. And he takes his plow and drags the Jamuna toward him. And at one point, Rupa Goswami says, Balaram's saying, when he's highly intoxicated in Krishna praying, he's saying, right now, I could destroy all the universes and everything in it, and Krishna wouldn't be angry with me. And Rupa Goswami says, we pray that Baladev will, you know, be merciful to everyone. Of course, if he did do that, we would all be liberated. So there is impossible to escape his mercy. So Jai Shri Balaram Avirbhav Mahamahosavatiti Ki Jai.